Accession number 31415.
Real 12. Now, we're talking about, well, I think probably covered the trading. Now, so what would you do in the evening? I mean, you know, what? So you're during the day, you're just doing routine duties, a bit of maintenance on your Jeep.
Oh, if you had time off, if you had time off in the evening, you'd all sit round in a tent with a crate of beer in the middle and have a sing song and a couple of drinks, you know, a few beers, and sing along and have a chat and crack dirty jokes and whatever you're doing. Or if somebody had already been to Tokyo, and your 5 days R&R, they'd tell you their exploits in the hotel. You know? And just in general.
Now, you wouldn't go to Tokyo for a while, would you?
I went in the August.
Yeah. Well, were you still with A1 Echelon then?
No, by then I was with RHB.
So when did you move to our...
Well, I went there to see the old man about... I couldn't stand that. I said,
no, you didn't do that on tape.
No. Anyway, I got a posting to RHQ as a driver, still as a driver.
So it's our regimental headquarters squadron.
Yeah, and that's where.
And when was that about?
That'd be about July.
And what were your duties like as a driver?
Well, I was supposed to. Yeah, well, you didn't do a lot of driving up there, and I'll tell you why. They allocated me...
Where were they? So tell us where our HQ...
I went to this particular Liga where they were at the time.
And what was that Liga like? Describe
it. It was a valley. It was in a valley. Everything used to be in a valley so that you had the protection of the hills. What it was, and they called them hills, but they were bloody great mountains. And when it was everything was located, nothing in the middle. No accommodation in the middle. Everything was allocated where you went to sleep or whatever what you had in the side of the hills so that you was protected. Now, if you were, they say the location was facing east to west, well, you would all locate on the north wall of the valley so that if there's any incoming mail and they had to land in, you would be safe because you'd be on the opposite side for the slopes from the incoming mail. But you used to leave all the vehicles out there and put them in different ravines and that. And of course, we had vehicles like, they never moved, and you towed a trailer with them. We still had offices on wheels. And there was the old man's office, the orderly room, we still had an orderly room on wheels. There was ordinary general service GS wagons. Well, we didn't have many of them. We had about three, four of them. We had a half track, which I drove occasionally. Half track, which we picked up on the side. Well, one the Reamy picked it up on the side of the road, changed the numbers from the US Marine Corps, got it started, brought it back, and made it our ambulance. And we put stretchers in the back, and we made it an ambulance into an ambulance because they were fantastic for climbing hills, you know. Climbing the mountainside.
But you drove it. What was it like to drive the Harker?
Oh, it's funny. It's got a funny shaped gear stick. It came out of the gearbox, which was right four, because you've got to remember it's left hand drive. So as it came out, it sort of done several zigzags before it got up to your hand, and then you just change gear like that with it. It was funny. You change gear like that.
Do you know which half track it was? Did it have a name or?
Yeah, it was a Whites.
Whites.
Yeah, Whites, they were called. Whites half tracks, yeah. God, you see them out there. Howitzers on them, every bloody thing.
Now, so, what were your living conditions at RHQ?
Well, RHQ, I was in a tent. On the side, it was a tent part dug in on the side. And the living conditions, I was only, this league where I went to when I was posted to them, I was only there two to three weeks, because we up sticks. And we moved to a new location.
And where was that?
I couldn't tell you.
Another valley?
Yeah, I went to another valley. Where it was, where we were at the time, all I know was in the Samichong, around near Samichong. And when we went there, we must have been quite a way back this time, because when we went to this leader, and we came in, we was told where to park the vehicles and where the orderly office was going to be, and the old man's wagon, and different wagons. And of course, we brought all the radio stuff, but we had radio stuff there. We had, and when I went to the top of this hill, at the valley, in this valley, the top on one side of the valley, when I got up there, I was surprised because there was a massive, great building up there, built with sandbags and ammunition boxes. And when you went, it was a radio controlled room. I forget what you called them in the army now, but what it was connected to all the squadrons. And all the squadrons radioed in, every tank, every radio, at, say, A squadron, every radio at C squadron, and B squadron, and HQ squadron, would be into this radio. Now, that was manned by Royal Signals. And they was in contact with every squadron and every troop leader, tank. It was quite a massive thing that was on top of this hill, and the aerials were, massive. And it was quite a good, when we moved there, it was more open space. And it's quite a accessible leaguer, you know what I mean? The other was more cramped, and there was lots of trees, believe it or not, in this valley, so you couldn't see anybody, you know what I mean? And it was in between the trees, and but this one was more open, you know, it was more open, and things was just parked. You parked them, parked the vehicles so that they were accessible. You could run and jump in and if they had to move, and get straight back out onto the road, you know, and get rolling again if you had to, if anything went wrong. But it was quite a good leaguer actually where we were, and that's where we stayed till we was relieved by the 1st Royal Tank Regiment.
Now, what? So any change in your duties really? You were driving.
No, it was exactly the same.
But who are you driving for now then? Were you driving for an officer?
I wasn't. I was back on three tonners.
So tell me about your day driving three tonners.
No, we never did them. Drove them at all.
Right. So
once we drove them from that leaguer to that leaguer
so
where we were.
What did you spend your day doing then?
All odds and sods. All sorts of jobs we had to do. We weren't a great deal. We'd make sure that our weapons was clean. Make sure, check the ammunition. Oh, and we had a petrol point there. Talk about health and safety. We had this petrol point, no pumps. And we had 45 gallon drums. I think I've told you before where our fuel used to come. Well, we never hardly got any. I forget the code number for vehicle petrol. But anyway, for tanks, we had three tanks. One was the old man, one was the 2IC, and I think the other one was the RSM. Because he was there with us, the RSM. And they were leaguered up most times. And they were only moved about to make sure the tracks was all right, and you know, didn't move them about, take them up the line or anything. And they just got moved about in different positions, and kept the guns clean, the barrels, because the crews used to do that, and we used to help out.
And these are what, Cromwell? I've forgotten which
no,
one.
No, Centurions.
Sorry, Centurions. Yeah.
Yeah, Centurions. Three Centurions we had up there, and we did a lot of more or less guard duties.
So what was guard duties like?
Well, you just patrol the camp around. Patrol where we was the leaguer, keeping the, you know, making sure and getting out on the perimeter to make sure nothing was coming up the other side, because they used to they could filtrate through your lines, you know, and they come through as refugees, but they were Chinese troops, and we used to do things like that in general, keeping everything shipshape and alert, you know.
Now, anything happen or any stories before you go on this Tokyo leave?
Not really. I was talking about the petrol pump, petrol station,
sorry,
not petrol point, petrol point. And there used to be these drums in anyway. We hadn't been there no more than a week, and it was like a quagmire. And it wasn't water that was soaking in the soil and clay. This was 86A aviation fuel. And you're walking about it, and blokes were smoking. I mean, if people was to see them, things went on. And blokes were still smoking their fags. And strangely enough, it never went up. We had a couple of tents go up with the space heaters. Oh yeah, we had a couple of them go up. We had a couple of bad cases of burns, blokes getting severely burnt. Because once you got, and we had one bloke who died in hospital afterwards. His sleeping bag, because it was nylon casing, his sleeping bag melted round him.
Now,
melted into him.
So tell me about this Tokyo Lee then. What do you remember about that?
Oh, that was fantastic. We went on. We went down to Kimpo. It was called Kimpo Airstrip. wasn't an airport, it was called Kimpo Airstrip. It was a military airstrip. And they had Globemasters there, the Americans. The Americans used to fly us in and out. They had Globemasters. And we used to go, we'd take them down there. And we'd go on board, but we'd just hand our weapons in when we got to Tokyo.
So
we used to carry our weapons.
That'd be your first ever flight, I presume.
Yeah, it was. Never been in an airplane.
What do you think of it, Globemaster?
Well, it was a typical military. You didn't sit in seats. You sat in straps along the fuselage. And you sat with these harness, like a harness. And at the tail end, there was a toilet at the tail end. And it was like a bucket with a curtain around it. Well, they still have them in Hercules here. They used to. I don't know whether they have them there, but the Hercules, when they first come in, they was the same. And we used to go in these Globemasters. Anyway, when we got to Tokyo, we'd be picked up by these buses, American buses, American Army buses. And we were taken to what was it called? We were taken to this. They commandeered a hotel, the British Commonwealth, the Australian Army Canteen Service. They commandeered a hotel in Tokyo, and it was rather a large one, very large.
Comfortable,
beautiful rooms. Everything, and it belonged to the Army, Australian Army Canteen Service, because a lot of people don't know, but the first troops to land in Japan after the Second World War weren't the Americans. The Australians and the New Zealanders got there first, and they occupied the whole of Japan. So to save the embarrassment, they gave them the north of the country. And but they retained all the south, the Australians, and the British got there then. When the British got there. But and everything was run by the Australian Army Canteen Service.
What was this hotel like? It was nice.
Fantastic, yeah, fantastic. I've still got my birth card in that album. And there was three square meals a day, and I mean square meals. What you did when you got there, as soon as you got there, you handed in your ammunition and your weapon, and they had an armory, and they put a disc, and they give you a disc to put on your belt. You went for a shower and you get clean clothes. Now we get just clean clothes, we did, like I told you when we was in the showers in Korea. But when the Americans and the Canadians went to come out of their places where they were billeted, they come out in brand new bloody uniforms, brand new shoes on their feet, you know, August, so they come out in beautiful brand new KD, fit perfect, brand new brown pair of brown shoes, fawn socks, lightweight socks. Canadians come out in green, they did. They come out in but they come out in brand new gear. And all their ribbons was on their shirts. We got a brooch to put on with our two. We had a brooch.
What did you didn't get that?
Yeah, we got the ribbons when we went to Tokyo.
No, but I mean you didn't get the new uniforms.
No, we had washed, same as what we went in, but washed jungle green trousers, JCs we used to call them, and short shirts Angora one, and a pair of clean socks, and you kept your same boots. All you do is clean your bloody boots and parties, and you kept your parties. That's all we got. We kept everything else and our 44 pattern belt, and your berries, and that's how they knew the British squad this was about. But everybody else used to walk about like they were dummies out of Burton's.
So what would happen next then?
I didn't go in any hotel. I never had enough money. I mean, some blokes accumulated money. I don't know how they did it, but I didn't. And I stayed in Ebisu, in the hotel.
Ebisu's
Tokyo. I'm sure it's Ebisu. I got it there in my book.
And so what did you do? Just have a drink and...
Oh, no, you could... Oh, and we used to... Yanks, because when they knew that... When you go out to the bars and that in the evening... And I met up with these two Aussies. So he said, come on, Pom. He said, come with us. I said, well, I'm going. I've only got another day to do. This was during my... we go for 5 days. And, of course, you get there in the... we took off in about mid-morning when we left Korea. So we get there in the afternoon. You're there by just after lunch. And they take it, as I told you, and you get a meal and change your clothes. Oh, you got a meal on. But what I'm saying is that one thing about the Aussies and that, the Aussies were the highest paid soldiers in Korea. They got more money than the Americans. And anyway, I met up with these two. And I said, I'm frantic. I said, I'm just about to get through. So I was in this in the bar in the Ebisu Hotel. And they used to, when you had the beer, when they did the beer, they did it proper Australian style. They had all these glasses in these little troughs. And we'll say there's about 12 to 24 glasses, like half pint glasses, in the, all in little sections, so they wouldn't fall over. And they used to have a gun, and they used to come along, like spraying paint, and fill them up, you know what I mean? And then they used to pick them up. Well, we used to use one table for the Fulans, stacked up, on your left, and then on the right would be a tray, a table, with the tray, empty trays of glasses, because they're all clean glasses, all the time. That's how we used to do, we'd be sitting there. Well, anyway, I went to the toilet, and I said this, he said, how much money you got, Pom? I said, I'm busting now. I said, when I bought that round, I said, I'm busting now, I ain't got a penny. Well, we had BAF money, British Armed Forces vouchers. And the Commonwealth troops had the same. The only people who had different in the Commonwealth was the Canadians. And they had American script, what they called script, because they had dollars. But the rest of us had, and New Zealand Zen, they still had the same as us, sterling. So we're in the toilet. He's standing, he was a bloody great big bloke, he was. And all of a sudden I felt somebody's hand come over, and my top hand pocket on my shirt, and he stuffed a bit of paper. And when I pulled it out, it was a BAF £5 note. I mean, £5 to me? £5. He said, now don't worry about it. Blue, he said, don't worry. So I said, I can't have that. He said, don't you insult me, you pommy bastard. He said, and he picked me up. And he picked me, just literally, picked me off the floor. And he said, don't you insult me, he said. And he got the fiver out of my hand and shoved it in my shirt. You go in and get the next bloody round, he said. He said, because nobody knows that I'm putting this in your shirt. He said, you know, nobody. It was true. Nobody knew what he'd done. Anyway, I did what he told me. And he said, well, when you get your round, if you don't have another round, he said, you keep that money in your pocket. Right. So anyway, as the evening got on, they decided, oh, it's about 9, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. They shut the bar at half 10, 11. So, come on, let's go. So he said to me, come on, you're coming with us, Pom, come on. And it was my mate was with me. And Geordie Ryker, oh, Geordie, we get this taxi. Outside of us, and we get this taxi. And they were all big Yankee cars. So we get in the taxi, we're sitting in this taxi. And these two Aussies, it's a sunshine roof, see, and it slid back. So they're sitting up on the sunshine roof, and they? And every now and again, they're kicking the taxi driver in the back of the head. Drive, you bastard, drive. We was going through Tokyo like the bloody winter. I was shitting a brick. We was going round corners on two wheels, and these two Aussies was laughing their heads off and singing. Nutty as a fruitcake, they was, honest to God. But you can imagine them, because they were infantrymen, and they, I'll tell you, fixed bayonets all the time, and they fight with their bayonets. They were in Korea, all the British infantry. That was their war, it was their war, there's no two ways about it. And, but what a night. And me and Geordie were saying, Christ, we're going to get out of here. And I, he said, I'd sooner be back up the shaft. And anyway, we eventually, they dropped us off at this hotel. They got off at this hotel. So Geordie was the same as me. Geordie was a right boozer. He never slept in a hotel. So he said, where are you going? We're going back to Ebisu. Because we never had to pay. Yes, we did. Only a certain amount. So anyway, he said to me, you've got enough money there to pay for the rest of the night, he said. So anyway, we stayed in the cab, went back to Ebisu. Everywhere was shut up. So you had to ring the bell to get in the door. It was gone 1 o'clock in the bloody morning. And I was knackered. I'd had a few beers. And old Geordie was there. He said, I wish I could put my mouth like an Arab's armpit, he said. I could do with a bloody drink. And we couldn't get a drink nowhere. But he made sure that after that, you know, we only had one more night, but he took beers with him when he went back to his room. We had beers in the room. And they was all in bottles. That was the only time we had bottles. No, we had bottled beer in Korea, yeah. And the Americans was canned beer. Yeah. So we had a good time. I went around Tokyo and all that, you know, and I went to see different places.
How'd you get on with the Japanese?
Well, that was all right. Like, every time you went past them, they see you in uniform, they bow.
Still
they
like that, yeah. Same
they, because they knew why you was there. They knew you was on leave. And they knew you was in Korea fighting. You know what I mean? They knew this. They knew you was an occupation. Because the occupation forces of Japan wore a different flash. They wore a square flash with the crown on it, and it had wrote on it, Commonwealth Forces Occupation, in the bottom. It went like that, and then it was occupation on the bottom. And that's the first time I've ever seen it. I had a couple of them flashes, and I don't know what I've done with them. I got them off of one of the lads, you know, to keep as a souvenir, and I don't know, I must have lost them somewhere a long while ago. I've still got one of my div signs from the Commonwealth.
Yeah, so then back to...
Then we flew back in, and as we was getting on this plane, on this Globemaster, this voice came over on the tannoy as he was going up the steps. And this voice came, this is a brand new Globemaster costing, I forget how many thousands of dollars. And he said, so take care of it as you're going on board. And all the Pluton squad is the Aussies and the Kiwis, and that was going all over, kicking the hell out of the bloody plane, putting dents in the bloody panels and everything. Because you had your weapons back again. Yeah. And if we had a good flight, no problems. And then we was picked up at Gimpo Airstrip. I think it was called Gimpo. I'm almost certain.
I think it is, yes.
Gimpo. It's now called Gimpo Airport. They built a brand new airfield there.
So, and then back to your unit. Now, were they still where they were, same place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, when was the monsoon? I'm not quite.
The monsoon takes place around July.
What, so just before that?
Yeah,
what do you remember of the monsoon?
Oh God, when it's raining and you're out in it, we might be talking, and when it starts, I won't see you, and you're only standing there. Classic example was when my wife came back with me in 1985.
No, examples from then, not now, if you see what I mean.
Oh, I see. Because we used to talk about the rain, and I said, and I used to feel sorry for the infantry, because they was in their foxholes and dug in. And I mean, and you see this rain come down, and they couldn't move, them poor buggers. And you know, at least we could get in the cover, undercover.
In your tents and
whatever, in the bivvies. But the infantry couldn't, and even our sabre squadrons, they could, because they could. They just used to stay in their tanks and clamp down, close the cupola lid, and the hatch cover, and same with the driver, and stay in their tanks while it was coming down. But it doesn't rain continually. It keeps breaking like bloody heavy showers. But you can't see. It comes down like a sheet.
How did it affect road conditions?
But mind you, the roads, because the roads weren't tarmac roads. They were just dirt roads cut out by American and Commonwealth engineers.
So
and kept level with scrapers to fill the holes in when the holes used to come, you know?
But didn't that mean that, you know, when it rained, didn't it cause them to...
Terrible. Used to cause the all the ground used to get boggy, and everything used to sink, and nobody used to hardly anything used to move. You didn't move because you didn't know if you was going to get bogged down anywhere, and even the recovery couldn't come out here. You know what I mean? And the only time anything with the recovery could come out would be a half track. And half time they got bogged down, because once the front wheels got bogged down, that was it.
And how long did the monsoon last for?
About a month.
So, July, August. June, July.
Something around about
that. So, now, after you'd been to Tokyo, what do you remember after that? Because you're still 2 or 3 months to go, aren't there?
Yeah, we just carried on normal duties. We stayed in that Liga, RHQ, till we got relieved by the 1st Royal Tank Advance Party.
When was that? November?
Late November, yeah.
Now, what about the coal weather? Because it's starting to get cold.
Yeah, it did.
Tell me how bad it was.
Well, we went back into combat suits. We had a few flurries of snow, but nothing to talk about. Frosts we had.
So
very
hard
frost.
How cold was it when you were there?
Well, it was bloody cold. I can assure you that it was bloody cold before we left. And we never had parkas, because they'd handed all the parkas back in. So we was just in combats, but we was all right. We weren't cold. Of course, we used to have the old string vests, those that hadn't undone them and used them for parcels to send if they had parcels when they went to Tokyo, tie the parcels up. Because they was on one made, them vests was made with one piece of string. A continuous, And the only other piece about this vest was the straps over the top was canvas. And that used to rub. Well, the whole idea of that was friction. As you moved, created heat in your body, spring vest, didn't it? And the same with the straps on the top. But they were good. I never used one. I never had enough bloody money.
And what other, any other special uniform to keep warm?
No. Well, we had special sweaters. Now they have been for many years now standard issue. Woolly pullies, they called them. They were nicknamed in Korea woolly pullies. They were the first blokes ever to use them woolly pullies were Royal Marine Commandos in the Second World War. And they had sleeve patches on the shoulder with their epaulettes, and they were like pipe kind of knitting, and very, very thick and heavy. Beautiful sweater. And they had a drawstring at the neck. And the first people ever to use them, wear them, was Royal Marine Commandos when they used to go on operations. But the British Army got them issued in the end. We had them, and they were a lovely sweater. And we had long johns, fabulous long johns, with an exit door flap at the back, so you didn't have to take them off when you went for your business, with a button, and the buttons were rubber, and oh, used to cut the bloody button off. I used to go in your bleeding nose. And extra thick pair of socks we used to wear. We used to wear a thick pair of socks, thicker socks than your grey socks. A lot of lads, it was nothing. In the winter, when they was in for the real winter, suffered from the November when they got there, right through to February, end of February. Their wives and their girlfriends were sending out nylon tights, and they were putting on their nylon tights like women against their skin before they put their other pants on and their other socks. And that's what pilots did apparently in the Second World War, wearing nylon stockings.
Now what about heating your tents? You mentioned space heaters. Tell us about them.
Yeah, we made our own. The Americans had a special, they had purpose-built ones. So tell me. Nuggets. We made these out of 25-pound ammo boxes. And what you used to do, you used to cut a hole, punch holes in it round the sides, cut a hole, get a piece of antenna off an aerial, and an air hose line off from the free tunnel, fit it and put a Jubilee clip off the Reamy on this piece of antenna, because they're hollow, and then you used to put it through the hole, then feed it back and put the hose clip on there. And then on the hose pipe, you used to get a hand vise off the ring and use a hand vise to control the diesel. We were supposed to use diesel, but we never got diesel, so we used to use aviation fuel. And used to run it back, and then we used to put it, supposed to use it in jerry cans. Use jerry cans and put the end in the jerry can outside your basher or outside your. And then we used to use, to make the chimney, we used to use. Tank ammunition comes in its own case. It comes in a long round case because it's like a giant bullet. It's not in two parts. And this round casing, they all, when you take the tops and the bottoms off, they interlock. So we used to call these heaters chuffers, because the smoke used to come out and it used to chuff out. And we used to pack it with clay round the collars because we had nothing else. We used to put clay. And you had to keep replacing the clay, because as it dried out, it cracked, and then the bloody stack pipe used to fall down. And of course, then you used to try and use, at the top ones, you used to try and use telephone wire, pulled out each way, three ways, to as guidelines. And what used to happen with these ammo boxes, turn the heat up, the bloody things, glow! The whole, I mean, a 25-pound box is only about that long.
About 18 inches.
Isn't it? And about that deep, isn't it?
18.
Well, the whole of that would glow. Can you imagine? You're in the thing. Blokes would be getting, even in a bunker dug in on the hillside, they'd be sitting up by the door with the sheet right back and the windows uncovered so in the night, you know, so the air could come in. And nobody, funny enough, nobody in our outfit got burnt or severely injured. Strange, isn't it? The things we used to bloody get up to. And I mean, he was only using air hose for the feed line and a hand vise. I've still got one of them hand vises somewhere up the shed. You know, and used to use the wing nut, slacken off or tightener. But we used, that's how we had them. But the Americans,